Ho, ho, ho! Greetings, festive friends. Welcome to another episode of You'll Be Sorry You Watched This. Yule spelled Y-U-L-E. The podcast that takes a holly jolly stab at Christmas movies that make you question the meaning of holiday cheer. Today, we're diving into the magical world of predictable plotlines, snow-covered small towns, and enough twinkling lights to make your retinas revolt. You can bet your gingerbread cookies that we're in for a ride on the Cliché Express. Get ready for heartwarming reunions, quaint winter festivals, and more Christmas miracles than you can shake a candy cane at. It's like, do they have a checklist? Snowy scenery? Check. Handsome stranger with a heart of gold? Double check. A career-driven protagonist who just needs to rediscover the true meaning of Christmas? Oh, you betcha! So grab your ugly Christmas sweater, a cup of hot cocoa, and join me as we unwrap the absurdity of Christmas movies. It's a sleigh ride through predictability, and by the end of the episode, you'll be hoping for a plot twist that's not as stale as last year's fruitcake. Stay tuned, and let the merry mockery begin.
I don't even know.
It's where we're heading today, Jerry.
That's
where we're heading.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll admit, at the time of recording, we haven't even been through Thanksgiving, so we're a little ahead.
True.
But you know, we're prepared, Jerry. We're prepared. We're not one of those people.
Clearly, uber prepared.
Yeah. Right. We don't put our Christmas decorations up last minute. No, no, no. We're ready now.
Mine are still up from last year. Yeah.
As well they should be. Mm-hmm. As well they should.
I mean, you're
be.
Just going to put them back up again. So.
Yeah. Exactly. It's kinda like, ooh. Yeah. Like those people I've driven by houses here in the U.S. and it might be a phenomenon elsewhere, but I think mostly in the U.S. where people do. They just have lights up all year round,
but then they just
change the color and the twinkle pattern for the different holidays. Mm. And that's pretty clever, you know.
It is clever. Although I'm in the realm or in the camp, I guess, of compartmentalization and segmenting those seasons out. Like,
yeah.
It drives me nuts that before Halloween, you can go to your favorite stores anywhere and you see the Christmas trees out.
Mm.
I don't know why. I don't want it to drive me nuts. I want to be
just
kind of open and supportive of however people want to celebrate their holidays, but I just don't like it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jerry, speaking of being open and supportive.
Speaking of things you don't like. Oh, speaking of open and supportive.
Speaking of open and supportive.
What's the segue?
Well, Jerry, speaking of open and supportive, I feel like rather than mock Christmas movies, even though that would be
like the
introduction said, yeah. let's make sure the introduction has nothing to do with what the episode's actually about.
Hey, how many episodes have we done? Like, why would we start
now?
Would we?
Yeah. No, why start? No, I think that what we should unpack today, Jerry, is preparing for the holidays. And you know, Jerry, the great thing about this segment is we're doing it in November, which for a lot of North America, various parts of Europe and everything means, various parts of all kinds of over the world getting ready for Christmas. But you know what? The holiday season could be other holidays as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, gearing up for whatever holiday and whatever country you're in and whatever family you're with or are separated from.
Yeah.
Holidays can take a little extra effort. So let's unpack the holidays, Jerry. Have we done this before? We're not sure.
I don't know. We'll ask the listeners. But even if we have, let's do it again.
Exactly. As Jerry wisely pointed out during our lengthy production meeting before this episode, you know what? What if all our favorite sitcoms only had one holiday episode? That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so we're just as good as your favorite sitcom. So we too may have more than one holiday episode.
Right.
We're fine with it. We're fine with it.
So you're a global person. Clearly.
I am from time to time.
You have experiences in many different places, in many different locations.
I've been a place
too. With many different people from many different places. What's your favorite holiday?
Oh, wow. You'd think I'd be prepared for this, Jerry, but...
It's not such an easy question, is it?
It's not such an easy question. Man. Okay, you know what? I think it's very hard to pick. I'll give you the ones that come to mind quickly. I am a big fan of Christmas. I really am. I just think you know, in in the Northern Hemisphere, it falls during the darkest time of year. Mm-hmm. And so the excuse to throw in generosity, a message of hope, a message of reconciliation, twinkly lights. I just think
twinkly lights.
That is a great
jingle
thing.
Bells. All of,
yeah, that's yeah. a great thing to throw into to miserable weather. So I'm all for that. Although it can be very stressful, you know, those are the good parts about Christmas. But right. I will say it can. There's a lot of expectation. So I think that rose to number one. I gotta say Diwali. I just like you know, again, as someone who's into twinkling lights, and celebrations and good food and everything. I do like Diwali. Let's see. I don't get to celebrate it that often, weirdly, but I do like the idea of Thanksgiving. I'm rarely in the U.S. Mm-hmm. around Thanksgiving time, mm-hmm. so I don't actually get to partake. But I think it's nice to set aside time to be thankful. And then this holiday only recently just passed. You probably weren't expecting this litany, but I'm going with it. Mm-hmm. This one ranks just for weirdness. I will say we just passed the 5th of November, which is Guy Fawkes Night.
I remember you educated me on this. Yeah.
And that's, I have to say, that's a holiday that you don't realize how odd it is till you're removed from it. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up as a little kid in the UK, I just went with it. You know, of course we have a holiday to celebrate the thwarting of a traitor who tried to blow up the monarchy. We celebrate by burning an effigy. You know, that, and we have fireworks. That's fun. But once you're a little removed, you realize, ooh, crowds of small children reciting things in unison around a bonfire where you throw the effigy of a guy. I mean, you can see a weird dark twist there, but you know what? I still go with it. Mm. I think it's fun. Remember the 5th of November with gunpowder, treason, and plot. I see no reason why such heinous treason should ever be forgot. And that just...
That, is that the end of it, or is it? Does it keep going?
That's it. All right, maybe there's more verses, and I just don't know them.
Like Star Spangled Banner. Yeah.
Yeah, there could be mm-hmm. more. Or God Save the Queen. Mm-hmm. Or King Now. Mm-hmm. More verses that... we just don't sing. Oh, yeah. So yeah, those are my rankings. I think. How about you, Jerry?
See, like, even as you're talking, what strikes me is the complexity of holidays. Because it feels like with every holiday, there are these amazing, wonderful, you know, things that we just absolutely adore and love. And then there's the other side to them. And so it's like thinking through that, as you were talking about, like the childhood wonder that, that you approach Guy Fawkes Night. Mm-hmm. How do you say it?
Guy
Fawkes Night. It's like, yeah, as kids, we just kind of, which is where our brains are forming and where we're kind of making decisions that are going to stick with us for the rest of our lives, whether we want them to or not. Mm. That's where we fall in love with the holidays, and we don't ask any questions at all, right? Like if the big people around us are telling us we should celebrate, I'm going to wear green for St. Patrick's Day, which, like, at this point in my life, I'm not sure how that landed as such a part of my experience.
Yeah.
Growing up, but if you didn't wear green, you got pinched, and that was the only tradition that we had. But there was, it was like that. There was fun. There was yeah. So I'm thinking about Christmas. There's so much about Christmas that I love. So much, so many memories, so many connections. The family, the food, like you were mentioning, the hope, the story, like all of that is brilliant. And then there's parts of it that just annoy me, like the fact that it starts in October, you know, and Thanksgiving, like there's always that like that coming back to the hard parts of the story that people like to have those conversations about. But I love the idea of a time just to be thankful, right? Like just to pause and recognize and the connection and the family and all of that. So I love that. I would say that maybe my favorite holiday experience kind of came to be a part of my history as I lived in China, and that was just around the Lunar New Year, Chinese New Year, and there were just so many great every year. Like for us, we were total foreigners, and so we didn't have the migration of going back home, but we watched the whole country as we just kind of sat there and watched. They would go back home, and a couple of times we were invited in for the meals that they shared, and it was just incredible. It's so much tradition, so much family and story, and there's just a lot of richness to that holiday. But for us, the fireworks, and it changed in our time in China because, bad things kept happening. And so they began to enforce some of the laws that were in place there. And it was less so in our latter years in China, but our early ones, it was just incredibly stupid.
Oh dear.
To go, it was like standing in the middle of the fireworks while lighting them off. And it was intense and just really, really incredible, beautiful, dangerous, and not bright at all. So I don't recommend it, but it was some great memories. And my kids grew up loving the experience of fireworks. We did make better decisions as we moved forward, but those early years, we're just kind of watching it felt like fireworks with no regulations whatsoever. And it was incredible. I really, that's one of my favorite holiday. I don't know if that's my favorite holiday. It's one of my favorite holiday experiences.
Yeah. Well, I think you bring up the very true point that I think almost everyone would agree with, and that is that the holidays can be complex, that there's good and
mixed
and
bad.
They are a mixed bag. Why don't we unpack a little bit, survival tips or tips to help in the holidays, mm-hmm. because there's an added layer of complication. I think if you're living a cross-cultural or transient life, mm-hmm. Because then you have to throw in, what if you're celebrating a holiday in a place where the majority of people aren't, or where the traditions are very, very different, or one of the big draws of the holiday is that family is supposed to be together, but that's just not possible for everybody. Mm-hmm. So how do you go into it preparing for that from the perspective of, somebody who's going to be far away from family, or from the perspective of, maybe you're the family at home and one of your loved ones is off in a foreign country. What do you do to prepare? So I think I'll start because I brought up the point. But I think as you said wisely, we form a lot about what we expect out of the holidays when we're kids. And I think one of the smartest pieces of advice that I'm sure I stole from somebody very clever, I just kept propagating it because it was very clever advice. If your family is transient or moves around or isn't going to be, in the location that maybe your holidays originate in, is to keep the keep the traditions strong, but keep the traditions flexible. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so maybe your tradition is, hey, we always get together and have a big Christmas dinner. That's a great tradition. It's something predictable, and traditions are very helpful in creating sort of that rhythm, especially if you live a life where rhythms are easily disrupted. That's a great thing. Gives people something to look forward to, something to anchor on. But if you make it too specific, it becomes difficult. If your tradition is every year we have Christmas dinner and it always involves a turkey and, cranberry sauce. And I realize those are in the US, those are Thanksgiving things. In the UK, those are more Christmas things. But if you're that specific, I remember I lived in Turkey I remember a Thanksgiving in Turkey, and there interestingly are not readily available turkeys in Turkey.
True.
That's part of the reason that country changed its name. Is it was worried about the false advertising and how people are going to expect turkeys. So they've updated their name more to Turkey. And that makes sense because you don't want to go expecting gobble gobble and there isn't any. So so too specific an expectation, Christmas dinner, we always have that together. You could do that anywhere. Christmas dinner, we have turkey with cranberry sauce and whatever, might not be easily reproduced. Mm-hmm. So I think it was very wise advice to have traditions. Just make sure they're flexible traditions.
Yeah. So I want to. I just want to build on that one because I feel like this, is a different way of saying the same thing. But as you keep those flexible traditions, kind of, it's almost like opening the lid on your box of traditions, where if you're coming from a monocultural place, right? Like if you are geographically stable and your family is all around you, then, and that was my experience growing up. Like it was all centered around those traditions and doing the same things every year. And it was kind of a closed box traditions because we didn't need to open it up to anyone else. But one of the big joys that I got out of celebrating holidays around the world was that we always had kind of a community of people who were from other places and had different traditions. And so it's like, hey, let's open our box up and you bring some of your traditions and throw them in here. We'll bring them together. We'll mix them up. And whether it was their holiday or not, whether it was our holiday, it was like there, when you open it up, you get the experience of other holidays that you didn't have before. So you get to go celebrate those. You get to learn about the traditions. But you also invite other people from other places into your experience and your traditions, and they just kind of morph and change, and we came up with some great new traditions based on the people who were around us, right? Like they were nobody's tradition. We just made stuff up, and now you do it twice, it's a tradition. Where we come from. Yeah,
now it's absolutely a thing. Oh, I do like that, and I think there is being it's kind of in that flexibility vein, being willing to adapt traditions to what's around you. I mean, that's kind of the fun of, if you are in a place where they might not have their traditional foods for your particular holiday or festival, and you have to adapt them to something local, that's a tradition, in and of itself. And that's fantastic. I mean, wasn't that for, speaking of Christmas, what's the movie with the kid who really wants a rifle?
A Christmas Story.
A Christmas Story. There, yeah, I can't remember the name of that Christmas story. It's The Christmas Story. Okay.
But what's that story? It's about Christmas.
But in that, I think that movie popularized having Chinese going out to Chinese. As a Christmas thing. That's such a great example of I'm having to adapt. And it creates new traditions traditions are powerful. I think that, for everybody. And I think, but I think they're when kind of moving on from that and expanding it to relational things, I think it can get stressful. It can be stressful if, you've always had a certain holiday together with the community and family, and then maybe you're separate, and it can be stressful for you. It can be stressful for them. So any thoughts? I mean, during your time in China, you obviously spent time away from the US where you traditionally would spend holidays, or anything. What do you have any thoughts about, what made it easier for you, or what made it easier for the people you left behind? Or, cause I think that's a common thing. I grew up, on military bases. And so I remember there was always a lot of attention paid to, we would record videos for people who were deployed. The military did a pretty good job of, enabling care packages to be sent, and just, made extra effort to say during the holiday periods, the military is especially a profession that separates people. So how can we do our best to kind of support that? So, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think about our time away. And for us, it was like we turned up the volume on our home tradition. So our immediate family, my wife, my kids, we just cranked up the volume on tradition for us. And those traditions remain today. And they were traditions that travel, right? Like we were very intentional about keeping them flexible for the most part, although in some instances, we've just turned up the motivation on tracking down. So my wife found a Christmas tree our first year in China. I don't know how she found it. Like they were not readily available at that point. They are now, but they weren't then. But she just worked really hard and found a beautiful, amazing artificial Christmas tree. because she was determined. But for the things that we couldn't do, right, we just turned up the volume on the things that we could. And I think as far as maintaining connection, like that's really like my mind automatically flips to the challenge of the challenge that kind of first year expats often make of, you know, they've been in the country for about 6 months. They're feeling really homesick. Christmas is coming up or the holiday season is coming up. And they're like, yep, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pay the extra money. I'm going to fly home. And they go at the absolute like pit of culture shock and culture anxiety. And at that point where they are adjusting and they're hating everything about their new home, they go back to their old home. And it's at this time where like people cook their favorite foods. They wrap things up and give them presents. They throw money at them. They tell them how they've missed them. And then they get like pretty shiny lights and jingle bells and they sing happy music. And it's just like this really, really false existence of what they think they're missing. And so they go back during that time. And then when that's over, they have to get in a plane and fly back to the place that they were trying to adjust to. And it's really a challenging. So I like for the longest time, I challenge people, don't go home your first year for Christmas, right? Like just don't do it. And I quit saying that because people just weren't listening to me. It's like that drive when you're missing home that much and you're like, you want it, like there's nothing that anybody will say that will keep you from doing that. But then my advice became, hey, when you're on that plane on the way back, just recognize now you're going, just like make it your first time, right? Like even if you did it back in August, now pretend like you're going for the first time, but you're going for the first time with your eyes open. Like all those questions that you had about what this is going to be like, you've had those answered, and then just start. Just start from Christmas and move forward from there. Let it be your launch pad into next and better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such good advice. Cause you're right. It's a perfect storm. If you're kind of, you know, brand new at dealing with adapting and putting up with new things, you're already missing things. Then you're missing them more because, you know, the holidays are this time of heightened tradition connection. Yeah, that maybe, I've heard you give that advice, and I can see why people buck against that.
Oh yeah, they don't listen. Like you can't. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Well, I know one thing that we, to this day, that I still do, is I've sort of given up being controlled by the calendar in that. You know, these events, these holidays are important for all these reasons. But things like, for example, around Christmas time, airfare sometimes quadruples, like just goes nuts. And so for me, you know, being near family is not always financially feasible. So we have this lovely agreement where we just say, you know what, we'll do Christmas in January, when all the flight prices go back down.
Yeah.
And I've been very fortunate. I think that started when I did work for the military. Lots of people would be deployed, so we would just keep the Christmas decorations up until those people came home. And it just lasted longer and longer, because some people have 3 month deployments. So we Christmas, we started early to try to catch people who would be leaving. We said, okay, well you're going to head out in November. All right, you know what? To give you the full experience, we're going to decorate in September. Christmas starts in September.
That's perfect.
But then on the same token, you know, some people you wouldn't catch, you would miss it. And so Christmas stayed up till April. Really, we just had 6 months of Christmas. And I was fine with that. I was fine with that. But I do think even for birthdays and things like that, I now for a long time have separated the specific date from the celebration, and just saying, look, you know, I'm not going to be here to celebrate this birthday, so let's do it some other time. I think being willing to have some date flexibility can be really helpful for people who are separated. That maybe, you know, if you're in that initial transition phase, rather than go home, just have a delayed Christmas. Go back to wherever you come from 6 months later and say, guess what? We're doing Christmas in June because we can. That's right. Of course, that's, you know, not everyone goes with that, and I understand that. And the opinions of Christopher Shaughnessy in no way, shape, or form represent those of any organization to which I'm answerable to.
Unless they do. Unless you agree.
Right. Unless you're on board. And then you're on board. But you know who suffers if you don't fly at Christmas? The big airlines, Jerry.
It's true.
Lord knows the big airlines, if we don't continue to throw gobs of cash at them, what will happen?
Yeah, I just have an automatic withdrawal. They just take money and
that's probably
I want to make sure they're gonna be okay.
Yeah, those poor airlines. They've got to make it through the hard times.
Right. Yeah. And I think there's something like there's just a shaking of what we consider stability to be when you live globally and when you live a transitory life. You have to give up some of the things that maybe more monocultural people would think as stable, and because the stability is based around staying in one location and having the exact same people come to that location and eating this, and you can just do a lot of the same things. Whereas as soon as you begin moving around, you realize that some of that's upset, some of that's changed. You have to give up some of that, or you have to change some of that. And so we're just like more in a space of ready to adjust. It's like those people who celebrate New Year's at 8 p.m. because it's 8 p.m. somewhere, right? Like I used to live in a place where it's midnight now. So
that'll work.
It's like, yeah. But holding those traditions lightly, and we're kind of all centering around that one brilliant bit of advice that you started with, right? Like, being able to take those traditions and hold them lightly and allow them to change doesn't take away the strength of them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't take away the joy or the power of traditions just because they're flexible. Whereas if you're accustomed to them always being exactly the same way, it may be a little upsetting to change that tradition. But it's like our tradition is that we change traditions.
Yeah.
So their tradition.
Oh, I think it's true. And the holidays are complicated. And I think it's worth looking into one thing that I did want to address, and it's a hard thing to address because it involves conflict. And Jerry, you know how much you love
conflict. I know. You love some.
Yep. I was so excited to bring it up because I was like, man, you know what? You know this episode needs conflict as is my approach to life. Mm-hmm. But I do. I think some of the most painful conflict that I've seen for families when it comes to, you know, holidays and global mobility and cross-cultural and all those things wrapped together is just what happens when you're pitted against maybe you've decided holidays should be flexible and stuff, but what do you do when some of your loved ones don't? And I think that's some of the most painful, just emotional parts, because the holidays then seems to bring up, sort of the mismatch, for lack of a better term, between, you know, maybe a family member who's decided, yeah, for whatever reason, for my job, for my whatever, I'm going to go and live overseas, and they up and removed themselves from a stable community. And the stable community is thinking, you know, well, no, this is how we've always done things. We don't have to adapt anything. You chose to adapt. And I think it's difficult not to personalize that a little bit. I think I feel for the monocultural, you know, family and friends, who still have all these traditions around them, because to me, it reminds me a little bit of the difference between leaving and being left. And I usually do the leaving, and I just got to be honest, it's way easier. It's just easier.
Yeah, you got something to look forward to.
Yeah, I got stuff to keep me busy. I'm in a new location. I'm distracted. I got stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But when you leave people behind, you know, they've got this background that's always there. So you missing from the background is so much more noticeable to them. You know, there's this, hey, everything was how it was when you were here. Now, the one thing that's different is you're not here.
Yeah.
So it is, I think it's much harder leaving. Much harder being left than leaving. And I think that's even more pronounced, you know, at the holidays. And so I think I've had lots of discussions with people on, you know, what do you do to mitigate that? How do you explain to family and friends that it's not a personal thing? It's not a, you know, because I think the assumption can be if you're left is like, oh, well, right. The holidays just reminds me that maybe we're not good enough. Maybe you don't love us enough. Maybe, you know, you're out there having your adventure because, you know, you couldn't find fulfillment here. And that can be hard to sit with. And so, you know, how do you open the conversations? And I almost feel like sometimes it's worth preemptively opening those conversations so that you mitigate some of that pain.
Absolutely. And I think even as you're saying that, like it strikes me that the holidays are like they're kind of the great inflator of everything, right? Like so the holidays don't necessarily, it's like it's not something different. It's not something that isn't there. Like those challenges, those kind of under the surface frustrations or pains or whatever, they're not new. Those are there all the time, but the holidays just have this space of, hey, remember, this is when we get together as a family. I miss you, right? Like I wish you were here, all of those things. And then whatever it is in the space of personalities and personality defects or dysfunctions or it's like all of those things, they're there all the time. And so really, like the right time to talk about them is not necessarily at the holidays when everything is inflated. Mm-hmm. It's, I think you're right, like hitting those things before the holidays and having those conversations when they're not threatening, when they're not heightened and inflated by all the sensitivity of you used to be here for the holidays and I'm really missing you now. Like having at least some form of that conversation before. So that when the holidays come, you kind of know what's happening because it's like those emotions get inflated and you don't necessarily automatically pinpoint, oh, this is some deep stuff that we haven't resolved yet. You just feel it, right? Like it's just hard. And so, we don't always make sense of those emotions that we feel, and we certainly don't make sense of them when they are inflated. Yeah, I think handling it before you see the Christmas trees show up in your favorite store, right? Or just openly communicate. Like it's really about communication. Like, are we able to talk about this?
Yeah, it is the holidays. I mean, as we said, the holidays are complex, and a little planning helps. And speaking of planning out complexities. Mm-hmm. I am pleased to say that Diesel and Clooney are sponsored.
Oh, by it's our KC first commercial.
360. That's right, KC360, our first commercial, because we're sponsored people now. Nice. And so, as we unpack the complexity of holidays, you know what else can be hard to unpack? The complexity of college admissions, Jerry.
Yes, it can. Oh,
it's difficult. But our dear friends over at K3 3C. Oh my
gosh. Nope. You got to. If they're going to sponsor you, you have to pronounce their name. Yep. K3690.
Good friends at C3PO. No. Our good friends at KC360.co, which let me tell you, when you type that into a bar, it looks really nice. All those round, all those curves, KC360.co. Mm-hmm. Our good friends there can help you navigate college admissions. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're there to help you get through the complex universe of college search and admissions. And you can sign up for a monthly Navigator account, which gives you access to collegiate topics and advice from experts on scholarships, financial aid, college apps, transitioning, and so much more. And it's all for free. So get started now.
Oh my goodness.
Go to KC360.co and let our friends there help you navigate the complexity of college admissions.
Look at that. That was beautiful.
I mean, you know, for a first run commercial, it's not bad.
That was outstanding.
It's not bad.
That was outstanding.
Thank you. I'm very proud of myself. Look at us navigating complexities all over the place. Oof.
Yep.
All over the place. Well, I do. I like the approach. I do. I love the idea approach of using the holidays as sort of maybe a marker in the whatever holiday it is that makes you miss family. When you see that approaching on the calendar, that would be the time to preemptively reach out. I think that's, Jerry, you hit it on the head. That's such wise advice, because it's just a massive inflation. It's like a magnifying glass is put on all the feelings and thoughts and emotions and expectations that are probably already bubbling there. Whether it's between you and your friends and family you're separated from, or I would argue even just amongst your community where you're at. And so a little right. preemptive work probably goes a long way. Let people know you miss them and care about them. And I think if you can do that beforehand, maybe it'll soften the blow a little bit. Because it's just hard being separated. It is. There's kind of no way around it. So the best you can do is try to buffer that pain with some good preparation. Mm-hmm. And so open communication beforehand. I think you said it very, very well, you know, especially because Christmas, we'll use that holiday, because that's kind of the big one that, you know, we're approaching. Christmas, it's a lot to cram in, you know, it's a lot to cram in. Mm-hmm. And with that, there's expectations are high. People want to squeeze a bunch of emotion out of a day. And if things don't go well, and the emotion you're expecting doesn't come out, that can just compound again those feelings under the surface that may already be bubbling. Whether it's you're the person who is gone, and those it compounds those feelings of loneliness or separation, or whether you're who's been left. And so, yeah, addressing those, starting some communication, so that you're not, you know, trying to squeeze in a million phone calls on Christmas, I think is a very, very wise idea. Plan ahead for the holidays. Yep.
And overeating
also
helps.
Yeah. You gotta plan for that. Somebody does. Yeah. You gotta know you're gonna be eating a lot. So for some people, that means building up to it. For some people, that means, man, you need to move up to 5 meals a day so you are ready.
expand that stomach. Expand stretch that it out.
Stomach, yeah.
Stretch
maybe,
it out.
Maybe for some people, it's the opposite. Maybe some people think, oh, holidays are coming up.
I gotta lose 10 pounds before I can gain 10 that one day.
I like to alternate. Yeah. I don't know each year what it's going to be. Will I eat less to prep and be healthy? Or will I eat more to expand? I don't know. I like to keep my body on its toes.
Yeah. You got to.
Keep it.
And that's, I think you're transitory. So like you can do that. You can change it every year. Yeah. Right? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. In fact, by saying that, the reality is I often don't get control. So, you know, I just, I say that as if I have anything to do with it, but yep. I get to just go with the flow, maybe Madhya Jerry, maybe that's the last piece of advice on this is the incredible wisdom in keeping your happiness cheap. Your happiness cheap.
That feels like a song.
Yeah. It doesn't it though? We should write it. that's this week's merch. Keep your happiness cheap, doo doo. Keep your happiness cheap, doo doo. Keep your happiness. Keep your happiness. Keep your happiness cheap, 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 cheap.
Yep.
That works. That works.
That's right. Diesel and Clooney, formerly sponsored by KC360.
Our sponsors, now that they've heard our musical ability, have left. They've left.
Yeah, they're gone. It was a good run.
One episode. We scared them off. Just one episode. That's how incredible my musical skills are. One episode. That's all it took.
I love it.
Well, Jerry, I think we've done well. We know how to pre-plan.
Unpacked it all, solved it all.
Yeah, there you go. Both of our dear listeners, your holidays are secure thanks to our efforts.
That's right.
Now we can go back to mocking holiday movies.
That's right. That's right.
Man, I feel we probably could do a whole episode about that. I'm just saying. But, you know, see, deep down, we kind of love the formula. That's why it keeps coming back.
Yep.
It's the predictability of it. It's the predictability of it. So plan ahead and get your predictable movies early is the moral of the story. And keep your happiness cheap.
So much mocking.
Because that movie is going to be exactly what you think it is. So you know, keep those expectations low.
Oh my. Yep.
Keep those expectations
low. Keep them low.
There's
the last bit of advice.
There's the last bit of advice.
When if that's going into the holidays, whether you're monocultural or transitory, set those expectations incredibly low.
Just because, you know, then you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yep. And you'll only be slightly disappointed.
Only slightly. Mm-hmm. Mostly surprised, a little disappointed. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I feel like that's almost an ingredient list for all kinds of things. I mean, fruitcake. Right. Keep your expectations low.
You won't be disappointed.
You won't be disappointed. I mean, you'll still be a little.
You will, but be a little. Yeah, but not so much.
But not so much. Not so much. Well, preemptive happy holidays and Merry Christmas, my dear Jerry.
Yes, and you as well, and happy Diwali.
And happy Diwali.
Happy New Year.
Let's throw them all in, you know, all Diwali, Eid Mubarak, all of it. I just, for all of those, for whatever holiday you're listening to this in, both of our dear listeners, we wish you a happy / merry / lucky / bright, fill in the blank. The holidays. Fill in the blank.
The holidays. Yep.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.